do is on my zoom, 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 and a boom, boom. All I wanna do is on my zoom. The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services. Walker Medical Linen specializes in bed linens, towels, scrubs, and lab coats. Family owned and operated for over 140 years. Find out why hospitals of all sizes, surgery centers, and medical clinics trust Walker Medical Linen. Online at walkermls.com.
A little Rex in Effect to start things off this Monday morning.
Well,
I don't mind that at all.
I'm a little disappointed because, generally speaking, Steven's on vacation this week, so I'm in here all day with you. Normally, I'm on at 7 o'clock on a Monday morning, and we're listening to Metallica. And just because I'm sitting here, we don't get it?
Chopped liver now. You're not a guest anymore.
I'm just a guy up in here?
Yeah, you're not a guest anymore. You know, when a guest comes over, you roll out the red carpet for him. When you're just a person that lives in the house, no one cares when you come
here.
Home.
And the coffee's not even made when you get here.
Yeah.
You put up a barricade. You wouldn't even let me get up the street to get here.
You saw that too, huh?
You put that up?
If I had time in the morning to do that.
What is that all about? Why is there police tape across the part of the parking lot that I always come into?
They resurfaced that. I'm probably off today. They must have done that this weekend, but I pulled around. And I was going to text you. And I was like, hey, don't try to come around that way.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that
I didn't figure you'd read my text.
Well, yesterday I was here, not yesterday, Saturday, I was here to call the Sporting Kansas City game at Seattle. Sporting lost 3-0. Tough one.
That was rough.
And when I came to the studio, same thing. I drove around because we'd go around the backside to park here. Mm-hmm. And that tape was up, so I had to stop, turn around, come back in.
Well, it must be dry then. Let's take it down. If it was Saturday, so you were here Saturday at like
11 o'clock? I got here about 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock?
Yeah.
The game was at 2, right?
Yeah.
So, we should definitely take that down. It's got
to
be dry.
I don't know. I'm not going to be the one to take it down. But then this morning, I come tooling around, and I'm on autopilot in the morning when I drive in here. And I was, oh, that tape is still here. Of course it is.
Well, here's the deal. I'm not going to drive on that. I'll let someone else take that down.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not going to do it.
We'll let somebody else do it.
No, I'm not doing that.
So, we got Todd Lebo here in studio, and Stephen St. John is on vacation.
I think all he's doing on vacation is going to watch the Elvis movie again and again. He's already gone and seen it again. He might be set up to watch this thing like 4 or 5 times this weekend. My daughter went and watched it this weekend, and she loved it. So I'm going to have to see it this week. But I don't know if I can do that if I'm waking up in the morning.
I'd like to watch it. I don't know. I got too much stuff going on this week. I think Kelly and I did start the offer last night.
Ah, you're in. Get one through?
We got halfway through the first episode.
Are you caught yet? You understand? It's fun?
Kelly's interested, and that's all that really matters.
That's all you need.
She's interested. I am, too. I saw the pitching of Hogan's Heroes, which I thought was funny.
Does Kelly know Hogan's Heroes?
I think so. I didn't ask her. I was explaining. My son was watching with us, and I was explaining to him a little bit.
Hogan's Heroes is a pretty funny pitch, but you look back at it, it's a long time ago now.
Yeah.
But pitching Hogan's Heroes in 1970, it's really not that far removed.
Yeah.
From World War II and the atrocities of the Nazi regime and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, it's further away. It's like, oh, well, whatever. I guess, we do business with Germany now and all this stuff. Back then, it's probably pretty radical. Well, let's have a comedy set in a prison camp.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I remember, because Hogan's Heroes, I think, was I was alive when it was on, I think, or at least the reruns
probably, but
were
the
on.
Reruns were on. You definitely saw them when you were a kid,
but I never really got super into it or anything, but I remember at some point in my life thinking, they really made a show like that, but
it was one of the shows that, would, for my time as a kid, you would come home from school in the afternoon, and that would be on, and Gilligan's Island.
Leave it to Beaver.
Yeah. And the Brady Bunch. That's when you've seen those shows were on. Yeah. And Hogan's Heroes was one of those kind of shows.
Yeah.
And then the thing that always cracked me up about it was you would watch Family Feud when you were a kid, and Richard Dawson was on Hogan's Heroes, and he was the original Family Feud host for me as a kid before it got into, gosh, whoever else, Louis Anderson and
Yeah.
It's another comedian did it for a while, maybe, and before now it's like Steve Harvey.
Who did it from Home Improvement?
Richard Karn was the Home Improvement guy, the guy with the beard. Al did it for a while. But so Richard Dawson, he was a great host at that show, and he was the Englishman who was on Hogan's Heroes, because they had a French guy, an English guy, a white dude, a black dude. That, it was just like, it was like they were all there, and then the bumbling, you know, Nazis. It was, it was kind of subversively funny when you think about it that way.
Yeah.
But still an odd pitch. But that's where the guy who produced The Godfather came from doing that.
He was a programmer. I'm learning all this stuff. I didn't know it. It's pretty cool in that regard. Hey, before we'll get back into some more lighthearted stuff here in a little bit. We got Annie Rodgers. I don't know if that's going to be lighthearted. Annie Rodgers talking Royals at 8 o'clock.
It'll be very lighthearted. It'd be great. Tell us about this.
I mean, yucking it up out there.
We'll get her to tell us when she thinks the Royals are going to win their 53rd game.
There you go. When did the Royals win their 53rd game in the year they lost 106?
That was 50th. When did they lose? When did they win their 53rd?
Marco
will do the work on this.
Let's see if there was a...
It was in September, you said?
September 20th was the 50th. So
yeah,
the 53rd one had to have been September 20th.
And that 50th was the second of a four-game winning streak. But, yeah, well past Labor Day was when their 50th win came.
That was, I was traveling with, I think I'd been yanked off the road by that
point.
I'm
sure we took you off the road by then. You never made it very deep, right?
I didn't ever made it to the end of the season on the 4 years that I traveled with the Royals.
Did we get you past the All-Star break at least once?
I think I did get past the All-Star break the first year, but it was only because that was the first year. Hey, there was...
Nate, we got something to tell you.
Yeah.
We're not spending this money anymore.
Yeah.
And you were like, thank you.
Okay. I really thought traveling with a Major League Baseball team was going to be a dream come true, and it really was more of like a nightmare. So there was some chatter. I think a lot of people saw this on social media yesterday, but if you don't know about it, I'm going to go ahead and pass this along, because I think it's also somewhat poignant considering what we had happen in town this weekend with the Big Slick. But Alex Smith has a very interesting history with this town, right? Like, I think that he is a guy that will always be remembered as the guy that came before the greatest quarterback in Kansas City history, Patrick Mahomes. And I think he is remembered mostly very fondly by people in Kansas City, even though his last couple of years here, I think it was marked by mostly frustration from the fans of thinking that he's not going to get us where we want to go.
That's why they moved up and drafted Patrick Mahomes.
And then there was the frustration of Patrick Mahomes should be playing now instead of Alex Smith.
100% remembered more fondly now because of what Patrick Mahomes says about him.
Yeah.
About how he took him under his wing and taught him things. And he did that.
Yeah.
And so he deserves to be, those things were said. And Andy and Patrick both, I mean, even as they were winning the Super Bowl, talked about what Alex Smith meant to him. So that is like a stamp of approval on Alex Smith's time here from the king of the city.
And, it's an interesting situation in terms of quarterbacks and how they react to a younger quarterback getting drafted and the idea of them being a mentor. And I hear this debate all the time. And Tannehill's the most recent one to say, well, that's not my job's not to mentor this young guy.
Joe Flacco was the same way. Yeah. And
Aaron Rodgers has been that way. Brett Favre might have been that way to Aaron Rodgers. Ben Roethlisberger was that way. And maybe a lot of people would argue, well, a lot of those guys won Super Bowls and Alex Smith didn't. And maybe that shows you something about what they were like as competitors. And I've seen people say things like, it's not their job. Their job is to go out and win games.
It's an interesting dynamic because you were telling someone how to make you not have a job.
Yeah.
I get it's weird.
I do, but this is just how I feel. This is how I feel. Say what you want. You have your own opinion. I don't believe your only job as the quarterback or whatever position you play for a team is to go win games right now for the team. I believe your job is to do what's best for the organization. You're an employee of the organization. Your job is to help the organization. And I believe that part of that, you know, and I've, again, when I've posted things like this on social media. People said, well, let me come in there and take your job. I mentor people all the time that might very well take my job someday. I'm not gonna try to give them my job. I'm gonna do everything I can to hold on to my job and do a good job at it. But I do think part of the responsibility of being a quote unquote veteran is to help the other young people. Tim Grunhart's told the story about the guy that started at center before him, who, when Grunny got benched as a young player, went to Marty Schottenheimer and said, he needs to be your starter now. It's his job.
Mike Webster, Hall of Famer.
Mike Webster. And I would just put it to you this way. Like, I believe in general in life, if you work your hardest, think about the good of the organization that you're in, and do everything you can to help that organization, you will rarely regret it. Alex Smith was going to lose his job to Patrick Mahomes, regardless of whether or not he ignored him and shunned him in the building or helped him.
It's just doing the right thing. And it's not even the right thing for the organization as much as just the right thing for
in
humanity.
In general. In general. Be a good person, yes. You know. And Alex Smith, had he mistreated Patrick Mahomes or thought to himself, no, my job is to keep my job and to keep you down and blah, 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 he would not be fondly remembered here. And maybe that you could say, well, who cares? It's about, whatever. The team did right by him because he did right by them.
Well, he was in a great spot, too, because although he hadn't won a Super Bowl, he had gone to the playoffs with San Francisco and, gone to the playoffs with the Chiefs and had made a lot of money. So this was someone who wasn't worried about, man, I really need one more contract to set my life up or anything. So there's a lot of factors in that. But mostly it's about what's in Alex Smith's heart as a human being.
Yeah.
And that's what it was mostly about.
Yeah. That. And I just wonder, like, is he going to ever regret that? I wouldn't think so. I think he'd be really proud of that being a part of his legacy. And I think that's why he actually went from being a person that a lot of people in this town were frustrated with just because of where the team was, to a person who's remembered very fondly here. Like, I rarely see anybody say a negative thing about Patrick Mahomes, Alex Smith on social media, which is rare because social media is usually a place where people go to say terrible things.
Go back to 2016 and 17, you would. Yes. This guy can't win this. This guy can't do this.
But now,
but then that was such a short memory, too, because just go back to before he got here.
Right.
That was some really bad quarterback.
The team was terrible, and then they won the division all the time.
They became legitimate with Alex Smith.
All right, so Smith.
After he got traded, I think he really became more beloved when people saw everything he went through with his own broken leg and life-threatening health scare he had. And to come back and actually play football again.
And play well.
And help Washington make the postseason. It was an incredible NFL career this guy's had.
Yeah.
And he's pretty much stayed out of the limelight. He's gotten a job with ESPN. A little bit. He's not like out there all the time, but he's been doing some stories and he's done a couple of nice interviews with Patrick and Andy covering the Chiefs last year. So you see him a little bit, but he's not someone. This isn't Tony Romo calling games every day. This isn't Peyton Manning with the Manning cast. You know, he's a guy who's involved with football still, but very happy with his life, I think. And he's very happy to be alive. And everything seems to be going great for Alex Smith. He's made $100 and some million. He didn't die. And he's got a wonderful family. And a beautiful wife who cared for him and brought him back with all the. I mean, if you watch that E60,
oh man,
or the whatever it was that they did, it was an E60 on his leg thing. It's incredible. Everything his whole family went through during that thing.
Yeah,
and then,
and now this, and this is it goes to show you again that, nobody's immune from the trials and tribulations of life,
parenthood, and
you know,
all that.
And all that stuff. So Alex Smith posted this. Over the weekend, is a picture of his daughter, Sloane, who's just as cute as a button. I mean, just an adorable little kid. And he says, this is Sloane Kensington Smith, our baby, the youngest of three and our only girl. She is sweet, selfless, intelligent, hilarious, witty, fun-loving, an artist, a singer, and a dancing machine. But most of all, she was an incredibly strong girl that has a ton of fight in her. Apple doesn't fall far from the tree there, by the way. The first picture was taken just a couple of weeks before our lives changed. On May 10th, Sloan was rushed to the ER with stroke-like symptoms. She had an MRI, and the doctors quickly informed us she had a large brain tumor and needed an emergency craniotomy. The 10-hour procedure was the most excruciating time of our lives. Can you imagine? I mean, if you are a parent out there right now,
you get it.
Just picture 10 hours while someone is performing surgery on your child's brain. Okay.
And you're saying that this is the most excruciating time of your life when you literally almost died and you were in the hospital for how many months?
Because your leg was shattered to pieces.
Yeah.
Devastating. I'm sure that wasn't even close. And yeah. I mean, for Alex's wife, I mean, she's had to sit through all these things. A clock has never moved so slowly. The incredible neurosurgeons at Stanford Children's did a miraculous job and were able to remove 100% of the tumor. Sloan, in her true form, bounced back from brain surgery like a rock star. She didn't skip a beat. After weeks of waiting on pathology, we learned that Sloan's tumor is a very rare malignant tumor with very few documented cases. Without a clear roadmap for treatment, we are currently awaiting more tests and gathering as many opinions as we can from doctors across the country to decide the best path forward. We wish this were easy and clear-cut, and someone gave us a how-to guide. It's anything but that. All we know is what's most important, and that's Sloan. She is healed from surgery, back to her bubbly self, singing, dancing, laughing, and feeling good. I know we don't post much about our kids, but we felt necessary to post this and say thank you. Thank you to our amazing medical team, family, friends, acquaintances, and even some strangers who have touched our lives in the last month and a half. We've struggled to keep on calls, texts, communication, and trying to keep loved ones updated. This has been by far the most challenging time we have ever been through. We know it's not over, and we have a journey ahead of us. But without all of you, we could not have gotten this far. We are sorry if we seem withdrawn. It's because we are. We have been inundated with doctor's appointments, scans, labs, and trying our best to navigate through this. Most importantly, we are healing together as a family. Love, the Smiths. And you saw an outpouring. I mean, I think the reason I saw that post from Alex Smith was because Patrick Mahomes is tweeting about it. You know, everybody that's known. I mean, it was just everybody was offering up their prayers and best wishes and everything to the Smith family. But it really was like, it hit me that this was the same weekend of Big Slick happening in Kansas City. How much did you say they raised?
Over $3 million.
Over $3 million.
Saturday night. Yeah.
We had Rob Riggle in studio last week.
Mm-hmm. That was Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this slew of celebrities from Kansas City that have made it a huge mission of theirs to come back to town and raise money for Children's Mercy. And when you hear $3 million, that's just really impressive. But when you think about what that $3 million does, right? And I mean, like the Smith family, this whole instance is a perfect example of the fact that money doesn't solve all of your problems. Now, it makes them a lot more manageable. You know, people that are sitting out there right now that don't have the money that can afford to go to whatever doctor they want to and all that can sit there and tell you, like, money would help. You know, money does help, but it doesn't solve all your problems. It can't keep your kid from getting a brain tumor.
Right.
You know, and all those things. But think about, like, the Smiths can afford whatever treatment plan they need. And that's still not going to solve all their problems necessarily. But there are so many people that will have children that suffer similar issues that need that deserve the same amount of care. And
that's what Children's Mercy does. That's their mission.
I have a buddy whose six-year-old I got a call this summer. It was, our friend, his son is in the hospital. He was suffering, his organs were all failing. They were all like shutting down and they couldn't figure out. I mean, you know, you're in the ICU at Children's Mercy and they don't know exactly why or what's causing it all. And it turned out to be most likely a side effect from COVID that they never even knew their son had because he hadn't had any symptoms. But it was one of those 6 months later,
weird things, yeah.
Your system starts to shut down because of all these different things. And he was telling me, God, when he was telling me about it, he's like, you know, these doctors come in and they tell you, okay, we're going to have to perform this surgery. and we're going to have you sign some documents here about what happens if this surgery doesn't go the way we plan it. And he's like, you have to sit there and you have to sign these documents that contemplate a fate for your child that you just, you just never want to be in that situation. And it's such a terrible thing, but my God, how terrible would it be if that facility didn't exist in this town?
Yeah.
You know, to be there for anybody who's going through something like this.
Well, they do so much on every, because it's, you know, think about anything that can happen to you, whether it's like a brain issue. My kids had both had kidney stones. Sorry, kids. Hereditary, my bad. But they both had that done. And, you know, that's a different kind of thing. But you know what? When you're like 9 years old, you got a kidney stone or whatever,
it's a big deal.
It stinks.
It's a big deal.
And they had to go through procedures and all that stuff. And there's heart stuff. And everything that can go wrong with you can go wrong with you there. And they are big now, huge. And we've done a lot of this stuff with them. I was just out at that golf tournament a few weeks ago, the teen suicide epidemic and mental health.
Yeah.
That is a huge, new, unwanted thing in the world that they are working so hard. And, you know, our friend Kevin Timmons from Nick and Jake's, they have these golf tournaments and they raise all this money for that because they understand that's another aspect of healthcare. And Children's Mercy has made that a real mission, not to just put that away and say, no, we just got to work on this stuff. They work on everything down there. And it's incredible what they've, the strides they've been able to make in a lot of ways to save lives and to make people not make the worst time of their life, bringing their kid somewhere palatable and try to help. And it's just absolutely incredible.
I've had to be there one time with my youngest because he had a choking episode. And we had to do an ambulance ride down to Children's Mercy. And that was the scariest, I just said like it makes me sick to my stomach just thinking back to that night. And he turned out to be fine, we spent the night in the hospital there and it was terrifying. And I remember like when you'd have to get up and go to the bathroom, you walk past all these emergency rooms where all these other families have a kid in there. Mm-hmm. And you just like, you can't help but wonder what each one of them
is
dealing
with,
you know? And not to try to be too, like, I don't want it to be a downer type of a situation that I'm talking about here. It's more about, thank God we have people that any one of you that like participated in Big Slick, if you went as a fan, if you donated some money, if you did any of that stuff, all the different things we can do for Children's Mercy Hospital, it's just such money well spent for everybody that might go through something like the Smith family. And I just, want to say that because I think people, we all love Alex Smith in this town now, and we should have anyway, but it's just like, what that family's going through right now. You put yourself in their shoes and you just, what a tough spot to be in. Thank God for them. They were at a place that has a world-class facility that could execute a brain surgery like that.
And if they were still here, they would have been able to do that here.
Right.
Quite sure.
100%.
People down at Mercy are
it's one of the top facilities in the entire world.
Yeah. My kids are older now, but they're still going to be my kids forever.
Right.
But it's like, we would go down there when, my daughter had more kidney stones than my son did, but you have to go down there for little checkups and stuff. And you'd go through somewhere and you just know, you see this family coming in, you see this, and they're just so much worse off somehow because they got something that's like, listen, the kidney stones are serious enough, but like real serious things like brain issues or heart issues or something like that. And you just feel for these families. And then, what we do around here and, kind of goes hand in hand with Ronald McDonald House and everything that Trent Green's done there. Mm-hmm. This spirit of giving that we have around this city for the families who may not live in Kansas City. Right. Yeah. They may live an hour away, but this is the place to go because you could drive around like
just if you live in Western Kansas. You're 5, 6, 7 hours away. And this is the closest.
I just drove to Omaha this weekend. There aren't children's hospitals dotted along the path of I-29.
Not just like
they're not. You might see an urgent care here or there. Yeah. I mean, health care it's mostly in the cities, especially acute health care.
Yeah.
So there are people who come to Kansas City from all around our region and they need it. They need a kind face and a helping hand.
A place
and that's
to stay.
What they
that's where Ronald McDonald House is,
And, they need that kind of care. So that's what Children's Mercy is all about. Big Slick raised a lot of money. It was absolutely outstanding. And they have their cause is huge. It's immense. It's all parts of healthcare for kids.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so I'm I'm glad that we're a little bit of a part of that here. I'm on the board of the executive board at the Victory Project, which is the Sporting Kansas City's philanthropy, which helps kids at Children's Mercy who are battling cancer, and you get to meet those families every time they're at a game, and it's great perspective. It's great perspective when I start to gripe about whatever situation I'm going through. It's a good thing to kind of remind you what's going on. So, anyways, if you get a chance, offer up your prayers, whatever it is that you do for the Smith family, because that's a scary moment for them. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to find out what Namdi has to offer today, because we left this wide open. You know, the interns, we're putting them in a position to take some ownership on some content here. Maybe they'll bring us something that we wouldn't have thought of to talk about on the show today and all that. Are we getting close to being ready, Namdi? We feeling all right? He's got a big thumbs up. He looks confident.
He's ready.
I'm a very big fan of the shirt he's wearing in the studio today. So we'll talk about that as well. This is Straight Ahead on the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. This young man, Namdi, our intern, we were in contact this weekend, weren't we?
We were.
Yeah. I'm helping Namdi get in touch with Mike Lickert from Rock Chalk Video.
You're like Alex Smith, helping a young man.
He might take my
He's
job
coming
someday.
For your job.
You never know.
His voice. Listen to that voice. Tell me he doesn't have more talent. Just listen to that voice. So much better than mine. That's why I'm trying to get him in touch with Mike Lickert so he can go into the video production side of things.
Stay off the play-by-play business.
but look at this young man has a 2008 FedEx Orange Bowl Championship Kansas long-sleeve tee on right now.
Love it.
Where did you get that shirt?
So I'm a pretty big thrifter. I like going to my local Savers and all
okay.
that.
Okay.
And there's these pop-up sales that like to go on. In fact, one of my buddies, Grant, he puts them on. And he put on like a nice display where a bunch of vendors came to this one area and sold vintage clothing.
So is that vintage or is it – so it's truly used?
Yes, truly
that's,
used.
It's game worn with that.
$5 right here. For
beautiful.
This.
$5
that
for an orange?
It's got tons of wear left in it. Looks good.
Worthy Rags. They hooked me up and – we like to go to these sales. They're actually having one this weekend at Lemonade Park. I love hitting those. You get some good stuff there.
So let me ask you a question. Do you get reactions from a shirt like that? Like, do people go, hey, oh, that's pretty cool. That's a throwback. That's vintage.
You probably didn't see anyone this morning.
Yeah. I didn't
Except
see anyone.
For us.
Yeah, well, I already got one.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Tough. You know, that's what people are saying. Yeah. It's tough. It's nice.
Oh, that's the word now?
It's
clean.
Tough.
Is it clean?
It's clean.
Yeah,
it's clean. Clean's
tough.
A good one.
Clean's a good word. Tough's a good word. All
you
right.
You know what? Like, Aqib Talib probably has that same shirt.
He definitely
you
does.
You know who has that same shirt?
You.
Nate Bucati.
Yeah.
I have. And
Sounds
that's
like
why
you could have made $5.
I'm disappointed that it's only $5 because, like, man, I might be able to make. Because. So did you know that I was the sideline reporter for KU football when they won the Orange Bowl, Namdi?
I didn't.
How old were you in 2008?
Six.
Marco, yeah. How old were you in 2008?
I'm not good at this. 11, I think.
Not
11.
Good at this simple math. Do you remember? Do either of you guys remember Kansas?
I was 38.
You were 38. Okay.
Okay.
How old? Do you guys remember it? Like, do you remember Kansas? Were you already a Kansas fan at that time in your life?
Kansas was.
You didn't know what Kansas was at 6 years old. How did you discover what Kansas like? Kansas, because you're this like diehard Kansas
fan. I bet it wasn't
fan
from
now.
The sideline guy at the football game.
It wasn't me. You don't remember me doing interviews?
I was tuned
in.
I
interviewed Todd Reesing on the field in Miami at the Orange Bowl.
After
minutes after they won.
Don't you mean Reese?
Reese.
After my daily Nick Jr., I made sure I tuned into the Orange Bowl that day.
Yeah.
There you go.
So, Marco, did you were already a Missouri fan at that time, right? So you didn't.
Oh, yeah.
You were mad that Kansas was in that. Or they stole that Orange Bowl from your Missouri Tigers.
That's right. For some reason, the BCS decided Missouri losing to Oklahoma in the Big 12 championship was a should have been a punishment.
For the second time.
Egregious.
They lost to Oklahoma twice.
You know what this is all about, don't you?
Dollar signs.
That's what it was about, dollar signs, Marco.
Dollar signs.
So Kansas has been cursed ever since that.
Rudy, all right.
Hey, so they won that game.
It's interesting because I I am not the pack rat of my family. My wife is. She's like, you know, like Steven has, like, he just has a, our office is a pile of things that Steven has accumulated over
the
years.
That's just here.
That's just here. He will not throw anything away because he might need it at some point in time. And I'm the one that every few months goes through the basement and throws things out. And my wife goes, we might want that. I said, if we haven't opened this box in 5 years, then it's not something we need.
That's a good way to be.
And then a lot of time, every once in a while, I'll come and go, hey, do we have that such and such thing? No, you made us give that to Goodwill last week.
You would never give away an Orange Bowl victory shirt.
So I have a lot of Orange Bowl swag because I got to go down. That was the first. That was the first bowl game. I only got to cover two bowl games as a sideline reporter there. That one, and then they went to the Inside Bowl the next year.
You know, that's...
Where they beat Eric Decker in Minnesota University, by the way.
That's more bowl games than they've been to for the last 14 years.
Combined.
Yeah.
They haven't been to one.
You were that was the glory times, yeah. Buddy. You might be the record holder of bowl game coverage from a sideline reporter.
I didn't know that KU was going to have the worst run maybe in the history of Division I football over the next 14 years after that. But I did know that going to the Orange Bowl was incredibly rare. Like, I remember talking to Bob Davis, and it's like, he already had one, or I'm trying, that Orange Bowl came before the national championship. The national championship in basketball came later that year.
That year, the next month, 2 months later.
But he already had one national championship ring in basketball, and there have been now four national championship rings you could have in Kansas basketball history, right? There's only one Orange Bowl.
Well, with the Helms ones.
Championship. I don't know if they gave rings out for those.
I don't think so.
Probably not. But there's only one Orange Bowl. So I knew it was this rare thing.
It's a big
deal.
Right?
And so I got T-shirts, like, I mean, they, because Adidas.
You probably got a sweatsuit.
Oh, I do. I have a head-to-toe. I'm gonna have to
hold
show
on.
You this night. Head-to-toe. I'd be interested to know what Namdi would pay at the thrift store for this.
Well, not for yours. It'd be too short.
No. The problem is all those sweatsuits they gave me were so long, you know, for a short. They're not a lot of 5'8", 170-pound dudes on the football team. So they don't, you know, like, even the smalls are like, and all the basketball stuff they gave me
you
was for
Jake
tall
Sharp,
people.
Same size.
Yeah. Close. But I do. I have it. It's like because Adidas was right when Kansas had signed their first Adidas deal, and Adidas just gave everyone at Kansas
all kinds of stuff.
And I know, jokes aside, they gave some guys.
I would never.
You wouldn't even. I could see the wheels turning there. But so I would get like I got like a duffel bag. I remember showing up to the hotel in Miami, and I got like a duffel bag full.
Namdi's got the wheels turning right now.
Not, like, not the first duffel bag in Kansas history.
I might. Oh, yeah.
Now he's thinking. He goes to school there.
That was
there.
A good one, Namdi. There were no unmarked bills in my duffel bag. There was just a lot of Adidas gear.
Maybe I shouldn't have said that.
But there was I got all kinds of T-shirts and I've got an Orange Bowl watch. A very nice.
You wear that a lot.
And I haven't worn it. Should I wear that thing?
Yeah, bring it in. Wear it.
I got an Orange Bowl watch and I got this tracksuit that the whole team got to wear. And it's nice, and it's like a black Adidas tracksuit, and it's got like the Orange Bowl logo right on the chest there.
Oh, sure.
And I'm like, I'm not getting rid of this stuff. I'm keeping this stuff. And I don't know why. I don't know what I'm ever going to do with it. I haven't worn it, but I guess it's old enough now to be vintage.
Retro. You're going to have to send me a picture of it. Maybe.
Is it old enough? Maybe I'll bring it in studio as a show and tell thing for you next week.
I'll buy it off of you. $9.
Oh, we'll see. $9?
$9 for the full suit?
Throw in the watch.
I'll make a good price for you.
What's the coolest thing you have bought at a thrift shop?
Oh, my gosh. There's a lot of it. I've been really into these, like, buttoned short sleeve shirts, like collared button shirts. They're just a nice summer suit, you know what I mean? I got a purple one. I got a tan one. Recently, that's been pretty cool. My good friend Jonathan, who was my roommate this year, he's really good at finding stuff. He found me one time at a Savers a Chaps Ralph Lauren collab sweater for maybe like $9. It was like really rare. Like that was probably up there. I'd have to go with that.
Yeah. Could you put that on the secondary market and get more than $9 for it?
You could probably get around like 20 off of it. If it depends on like where you're selling it. Like, You know, you got Poshmark these days, which I've been meaning to set up, and I've got some things I got to sell on there. So
Poshmark.
What's that? Macari. They're just like eBay. You sell your stuff locally.
Yeah. So I could put my Orange Bowl stuff up there if I wanted to.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Make some.
Someone would want it.
Remember, I think it was last year.
Shouldn't it be worth more than $9? I mean, it's probably really rare.
You didn't pay for it.
But I'm just saying, it's such a rare thing.
Well, it depends on. Sometimes things are rare, and sometimes things are desired. You know? I don't know. Travis Kelce, remember, I think last year on one of the Zooms, he wore one of those old Chiefs. Remember, they used to always have these Chiefs kind of caricatures, and it was the O-line.
Yeah.
And Grunny's face was on it. It was like, it was Dave Zott, Grunny, those cool old things that we used to always buy those deals. And I think I probably still have one of those, like, 100% beef, whatever, with those Chiefs O-lineman kind of shirts. I had some of those. They used to make posters like that too.
Yeah.
With all the Chiefs defense or whatever. And people bought that. I don't think people buy posters anymore, I guess. I don't know.
Buy those NFTs shirts are cool. Now.
Sure. Whatever. Remember, didn't I give you an old Celtic shirt I had?
It was.
It had those little caricatures.
I thought it was Pete Enoch that gave me that.
I gave you that. It said like Sweet 16 for the Green Machine.
Yeah.
Because it didn't fit me anymore. And I'd bought it in Boston.
It doesn't fit me anymore either. It used to, though.
In like 1986, I was in Boston and they had won their 16th championship that year. And it was sweet. It had it was a white T-shirt with the green
rims around the bottom of the sleeve. And the neck.
And the whole front of it was just the whole team, like Larry Bird, Kevin McHale, and the big, you know, like things you'd get at the
bobblehead.
Yeah, bobblehead looking caricature thing. Yeah. And it was like.
I still have that shirt. You gave it to me. Yeah.
So it was that would be something you would find probably bring a great price up in Boston at a vintage thing.
I think my grandpa has.
And then now you go see these things. Now you go to like Target and they sell these things that are supposed to look like that. And they're like,
it's not the same.
It's not the same. Like I have some old concert tees like that. I have this old like AC/DC concert shirt from the actual 1985 tour, Fly on the Wall. And I like loaned it to Ben. He had to go to some like rock and roll Halloween party. It's real.
Yeah.
And the if you know, you know, right? You look at that and it's, no, that's actually a real old shirt, not something that you bought at a store.
There's like this craving online maybe craving's not the best word, but for like 2000s Hot Topic t-shirts because like those were like that was like the peak of Hot Topic days. Like
I probably don't have any of those. Shirts. I was like, probably out on the Hot Topics.
I
don't even know what that is.
That's a store, right?
Yeah, it's a store. And it's like, it's kind of like a pop culture type thing. And like all their shirts, they're cool looking and they wanted like you said, that like fake vintage like feel for it. But like back then they were really like, their design game was up there, and it's a thing.
Hot Topic, something at the mall, right? Like Spencer's, Hot Topic, right. The Buckle,
PacSun is huge. They also do they.
So
do
like, I know all those places. Is there a Hot Topic at Oak Park Mall?
It probably was.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I guess I just must have walked by. I remember going like, hey, there's PacSun, and
they still have Hollister stores. Those still exist.
Yeah, they do have Hollister. Where is it at?
Those were the things, like, I mean, my kids were in, like, junior high. That was like, oh, you got to get a Hollister t-shirt or Aeropostale.
Yeah.
So Nambi's got on his vintage.
Are those back yet or no? Is that vintage enough now? Can you wear that ironically now?
I don't think so. I think you got to get made fun of if you
like
wear
5 years from now, maybe you wear the Aeropostale.
Maybe,
be cool.
Yeah.
You got to wait for it to get cool again.
It's got
to
age a little bit. You know what? Kind of like how Champion is.
Champion's back,
Champion's
right?
Cool Champion's cool again.
Back.
Yeah.
Well, so what the hot thing, I'm older than you guys. Nate would remember this, though, probably. The cool thing, like when I was in like eighth grade, was Ocean Pacific.
Yeah.
Ocean Pacific t-shirts. And I think Ocean Pacific still exists, but they were like,
everybody
it was from California.
Yeah.
It was like an OP t-shirt. It had this OP.
And it was all
and it
Hawaiian.
Was like Hawaiian,
yeah,
California,
like surf,
beach,
surfers type
whatever.
Stuff, yeah.
It's like, oh, it's Ocean Pacific. Yeah. That was the thing. And I was like, I haven't seen an Ocean Pacific shirt in 30 years. But if I saw one, I would instantly get transform back to like Bridger Junior High School and be like,
the thing I remember about Ocean Pacific was when, so first grade through fourth grade, I lived in Overland Park.
OP. Ocean
OP.
Pacific, see?
And they had a thing back then where you could pay, I don't know, it was $50, whatever it was. If you paid, like, it was a summer pool pass that would get you into every single public swimming pool in the city of Overland Park. And they would get you a patch. It was a little circular patch, and it was an Ocean Pacific patch because it said OP on it. So it stood for like the Overland Park pool system. And you would sew that patch onto your swim trunks, and you could just walk in to any of the pools.
I got the patch.
Every day we were, hey, which pool do we want to go to today? And one of the parents in the neighborhood would take us to one of the pools. That's what I remember about OP.
Ocean Pacific.
Yeah,
that was
Ocean Pacific was
brand.
Huge, huge.
And of course, Jordache jeans, yeah. And like all these like designer jeans back in the day. I never got into that game, but I had some Ocean Pacific t-shirts.
I'm struggling to get my head around the fact that the Orange Bowl is vintage now.
Well,
but
vintage.
It really has been. It's been a decade and a half since Kansas was in the Orange Bowl. That makes it vintage, right?
Most of my KU gear is vintage.
Yeah.
Well, you have to get some new stuff now. They just won the Natty.
I know. I mean, I do have some like Natty stuff, but like the stuff that I wear on the regular basis, I just like it a lot better because it has like that older feel to it.
Nate was making fun because it's been 22 years since Oklahoma won the football title, so I have some vintage clothes there.
Yeah.
I still like them, though. Every once in a while, you throw one of those on.
I'm going to have to go through some of my vintage Kansas stuff and see if I got anything for you. I'm sure I got some stuff you'd be interested in.
Oh, I definitely would.
All right, so what did you bring for us today? What content do you have for the show?
Yeah, we wasted your whole time. Sorry.
That's all right. I got some post-draft stuff. We can talk a little bit about it.
You're an NBA guy. This is every time we talk to Namdi, he wants to talk NBA. All right, post-draft. Were you grading people? What are you going to do for us?
I got some winners and losers.
Okay.
We're gonna start off with the losers because the first one's going to be me.
My mock draft
was not the best. I think I got 2 out of the top 14 picks correct.
Oof.
On mine.
That's not good.
It was not chalk at all. But there's some teams to blame for that. I'm not going to blame it all on myself, but I did get Ochai Agbaji right.
You got Ochai going to the Cavs?
Yep.
Okay, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about
it? I like
it.
It's a good fit. It's a very good fit. He was already in Cleveland like the next day, and I think he's going to just add a lot of length and good shooting to that team who's going to be contending for, you know, some Eastern Conference rep right there. Cavs are a great team.
They're a great team.
Was this a
they make the playoffs
failure to for Banchero to go number one?
No, I don't think it was. I think Banchero was, I mean, like I said, the top three prospects all could have been number one picks in different drafts, and it just happened that, you know, they all were in the same draft. But I really like Banchero for the Magic. He's going to be a great fit for there. I compared him to Blake Griffin, and I got a lot of heat for that. And they were like, you know, Blake Griffin couldn't shoot. And I'm like, well, they both aren't the best on defense either. They're both explosive forwards. But I still like the fit for Orlando. They're trying to build a culture right there. They got some really good guards. They got length already. And Banchero could be that guy for the team. So I like him.
It was shocking, though. A lot of people didn't think he was going
to
go well.
I didn't either. We should have listened to the odds. Vegas is right.
Vegas knows some things.
They did know some things. And Jabari Smith slid to 3, and I still think he's a good fit for Houston right there.
Do you want to do any other losers, or do you want to go to your winners?
I would say, the Kings. They were a pretty big loser. I don't understand how you're at that number 4 spot, and you don't want it, and like 9 times out of 10, you're picking Jaden Ivey at that spot. And they should have traded out if they didn't want Jaden Ivey. And they kept it, and they ended up picking Keegan Murray, who I don't think is going to be a bad prospect, but Jaden Ivey, he's going to be something special for Detroit. And I think it was a steal that they got him at 5. But they should have traded that pick 100%.
Okay.
Who's your winners?
Some winners I got, like Detroit. They're probably the biggest or the second biggest winner in this draft. I really like that they got Jaden Ivey, and they ended up trading to get the 13th pick to select Jalen Duren out of Memphis.
And it's a big kid.
He is huge. He could be a very good pro. A lot of people are high on him. He's just one of those guys where it's like, he's not worth a top 5 pick, but he honestly could end up being one of the better picks in the draft. One of those things. He's a project.
Super raw.
He is super raw, but he's big, and he did pretty good at Memphis. I like him a lot. They essentially traded Jeremy Grant for him and like 3 second-round picks in the future. So I really think it's the Detroit's going to be very – they have a very bright future.
Who's this – like, you know, every once in a while, people don't know these guys from the foreign countries. Just a name pops up. No one who knew who Dirk Nowitzki was, right?
Right.
And people knew Luka a little bit, but I don't think anyone knew Luka was going to be this good.
Right.
Is this kid from France – this good,
Uzman.
The other, the Jovic guy from Serbia as well. Are those guys, can one of those guys be a superstar in this league? Or are they just going to be people like, oh, what's this guy?
I think Jovic could be. I really like Jovic for the Heat. He sounds like it's Nikola Jokic. It sounds the exact same, but they have very different play styles. And I think he's going to fit in with the Heat culture very well. I don't know about the French guy. When he got picked, Uzman. He got picked at 11. I was like, this is such a Knicks pick. And then Knicks, who were one of my other losers, because they ended up trading him away and walked away with nothing but picks for future drafts that maybe not even won't even convey for them for years. But
is that because they're trying to clear out salary cap?
They'll still just sign somebody stupid. They do that all the time.
It's all to sign Jalen Brunson is who they're targeting.
They're going to give him like a max deal or something?
$100 million is what they want to give him. And if he's smart, he would stay in Dallas because he's going to get more money, and the Mavericks are poised to contend.
Like, and be good.
They're very good if he stays. But if he wants to be the number one option on a crappy franchise, and I wouldn't say crappy. They're
a crappy franchise.
They're a terrible franchise for a team in New York City,
right?
To just be terrible all the time is just you're horribly run.
When you have this much money, you don't think about this part of it. But you sit there and live in Dallas making $38 million or live in New York City making $40 million. I mean, unless you just want to be part of New York City.
I'd rather live in New York.
I know you would, but
I don't like Dallas.
But good God, if you're just thinking about the dollars and cents of it, along with the fact that it's a great franchise, it takes care of their players and it's run well, and they've got a future ahead of them.
I'd rather play for Dallas than play for the Knicks.
You could be playing with a future MVP, and like you give that up and potentially winning a championship. And you give that up just to be the face of New York. Like, it's ridiculous. But I like Usman on the Thunder. Thunder is also one of my biggest winners. Four really good guys.
It's been dark days for them for the last few years. The rebuild has not been easy.
Yeah, but they stockpiled all those picks they got for Russell Westbrook, for Paul George, and I think it's going to pay off. They got good fits at each of their picks, and I really like Chet there. They got two Jalen Williams that night.
Double Jalen's.
Double Jalen's. What do you think of Christian Brown going to the Nuggets?
Oh, I love it. All my Denver friends were so hype, and they were texting me. They were like, I told you, Christian to the Nuggets. And some people thought it could have been a little bit of a reach, but I liked him at that spot. He's going to provide some shooting that they really need, and hopefully he develops into something that Jokic could get some help for, because Nuggets are a good franchise, but I don't know what's going on with. They had such a bright future. They were looked at this team of Jamal Murray and Gary Harris, and then Jokic is going to be this guy, and then Gary Harris regresses, so he gets traded, and Jamal Murray hasn't played basketball
in
2 years.
Michael Porter's always hurt.
Michael Porter, we used to call him Crackback Porter in high school.
Whoa, just take it easy, man.
On that note, Namdi, thank you very much for the time. We appreciate it.
Of course.
We'll take a break. We'll get a weather forecast from Gary Lezak right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Yesterday, didn't we?
Oh,
what a day.
It's nice this week, I hope.
Woke up this morning and it was nice and cool outside. Gary, I drove to work with the windows down this morning.
It was so comfortable. It was 56, 57 degrees. It's still 59 degrees. It feels just fantastic outside. And today's high about 79 or 80. So it is great. How are you doing?
Are you... What were you complaining about with this College World Series? Was there a rule or something you were mad about?
There's many rules that are weird. I mean, there's weird rules. They review so many things and little things that change the game. It was the rule that by the rule, it's about as some of these rules are just the dumbest rules ever.
Yeah, they need to use some common sense. What happened yesterday is the Sooners had first and third, and they did a safety squeeze, right?
Yeah,
so the guy had slid across home plate, and Ole Miss threw the ball to first base. Well, they by review went back and said the guy was inside the baseline and ran the ball and whatever. So they called him out. That's fine. But Ole Miss had given up the run. They didn't care. They weren't throwing the ball home. They made the players go back to the bases. It's the letter of the rule. They called it the right way, but that's dumb to think that Ole Miss was not concerned with the player, and it took a run off the board. Oklahoma was going to take a 2-1 lead there. blah, blah.
No, that was 1-0. It was 1-0.
That was to go up 1-0. Yeah, they would take their first lead.
It would have been first and third with one out. Who knows what happens from there?
It's a little bit like the ground rule, double rule. Let's say it's 2014. Gerard Dyson is on first base. He's running with the pitch, and someone hits a ground rule double, and they say, Gerard, you have to go back to third. He was showering already, you know, but they make him go back. So it was kind of a dumb thing. So they do review a lot. They can review this one, Nate, in college baseball. You can review whether a person moved into getting hit by a pitch.
Mm.
And that was actually, they looked at that, too.
They looked at that, and they kept it as a hit by a pitch.
But, which is amazing because they hit him square in the leg. He didn't move in, but he didn't move. They could have called that. So,
yeah.
But anyway, on that play, Lebo, on that play, the first base is inside the line. The whole base is inside the line. It's on the foul side. And so when you're running down, the guy's running down the first baseline. He's on the line. On his last step, he's inside the line because you have to go inside the line
to step on the base. Yeah, I agree. It was okay. Listen, they weren't good enough to win. But that was a big play in the game because it was going to be a run in, second and third, one out. You might have a chance to rally. But Oklahoma did about a billion things wrong. And one of the things wrong was that they didn't get the very good end of the stick on that play.
Right, plus five.
It was a killer.
Five wild pitches that scored runs. It's ridiculous.
You got to pitch it and catch it. Wasn't good. But it was a great event. It was a lot of fun to be there. I was super excited to go, and people should all go to Omaha to go to this event. It's not very far to go up there and enjoy it. Just like if you're, you know, we tell people all the time, we get so used to having the Big 12 basketball tournament here. If you're
it's
not
fun.
From here, like if you live 3 or 4 hours away from here and you just want to have fun, come to the Big 12 basketball tournament.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Same thing as going up there. It was a lot of fun. Baseball does have weird rules, though, and weird interpretations, and that was certainly one that was like it didn't make sense to me. You can't logically tell me why the guy has to go back to third base.
Yeah. I mean, he scored before the ball was even thrown.
Yeah. So
stupid.
So, yeah, dumb rule, but hey, as you said, they didn't play good enough to win. That's the way it goes. But still, you might have thought otherwise if they would have won that game and then they played great in the last game, but there's no last game. All right. Weather-wise, we are looking at just spectacular weather today. Sunny. A high temperature today of 79 or 80, maybe 81 degrees, which is great for summertime. So a great start to summer already. It'll warm up later this week. Chance of thunderstorms due in Friday or Saturday, the 4th of July weekend. 1 week from today is Independence Day. Looks pretty good. Chance of thunderstorms over the weekend, but I think Monday is looking good for fireworks. We'll talk more about that coming up. Today is a very, very, very special day. My young baby Rainbow, the weather dog, is 3 years old today.
Aww.
So she can legally she can legally go to Argosy and gamble now. She's 21, so things like that are possible. But she's amazing. Sunny, we adopted Rainbow, when she was 11 weeks old, and it's been a match made in heaven for Rainbow and Sunny to just be living partners at our household. So happy birthday, Rainbow.
Wonderful. That's nice.
Great. Did you guys see Elvis yet?
Not yet.
Nope.
Maybe this week. Except I'm getting up early, so I don't know. Go watch a matinee.
Yeah. I would have rather gone to see that than the Oklahoma game yesterday, but it's all right.
It happens, man.
All right. Have a great morning, everyone. We'll keep you updated on KSHP 41. It is a gorgeous day out there. Get out there and enjoy every minute. And here is Pro Partners Healthcare's Dr. Troy Burns.
Thanks, Gary. As you've known for years, Pro Partners is a different kind of family medicine practice that guarantees direct access to your personal physician literally anytime. If you want the peace of mind of having a doctor who's always available, give Pro Partners a call or check us out on the web at ProPartnersHealthcare.com.
All right, back after this to talk some Royals with Annie Rogers on Sports Radio 810 WHB.